Shalom Aleichem, everyone. I appreciate your faith and the fact that I would finally get back in touch at this time. And thank you for tuning in. I'd like to share with you some thoughts from Rosh Hashanah, the middle point from where the world was created, the center of the universe. All right, maybe that was the Beis HaMikdash, but Rosh Hashanah must have been the second choice. First, a Mazel Tov to Rabbi Yehuda Korfeld, who is in the middle of Sheva Brach this week, who made Chasana. He is the one that writes up the Shiurim, and we extend a hearty Mazel Tov to him. Now, this morning, we were laning here, as I'm sure they were laning elsewhere. And in Parshas Ekev, in the third Aliyah of the weekday, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Ki Hashem Elokecha Mevi'acha El Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachlei Mayim, Mehonais Yisrohimais, Yaitzim Bapikol V'yam. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, it's a good land. It's an Eretz Tova. And he describes it. He describes it as a land which has water that comes from underground, which has all kinds of chita, v'sayra, all types of foods available. He describes how good the land is. And there's an important message, and that's the message, is that you want to be Matzliach in Eretz Yisrael, you have to believe the pasuk. You really have to believe it. You have to understand that it's Eretz Taiva. Kaddish Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, it's a good land. It's a wonderful land. When you come, you have to come with the attitude, not with the attitude of thinking it's a good land, but it has to be known to you. It has to be something that's not that doesn't need to be discussed, but that's understood. Chachma and Simcha go hand in hand. Wisdom and happiness go together. Chazal teach us that to really be happy, it comes from a certain chachma, a certain thought process, a certain wisdom that has to do with life. Wisdom and happiness go hand in hand. Chazal express it with the expression, Ein simcha ka'ataras asfekis. There's no joy as when things become clear to a person. When you understand something, then there's a simcha in the life that you live. I'll give you an example. Let's say someone is married, he marries a woman that he's dated and that he has an affection for. If he understands, if his chachma gives him the message that this is my partner in life, this is the one. This is the one that's Arbaim Yayim Kaidim Yitzur Savlad. Then he'll have a simcha in life. Then he won't go through moments of doubt, moments of frustration. Of course, husband and wife often frustrate each other. But it doesn't attack the core of who you are. If you have chachma, if you have the understanding of what it is that you're connecting to. The same thing is true if a person believes that what comes his way in life is his tafkid, is his challenge. A person has disappointments in life can beat himself up all the time. When he comes to the understanding that this is his purpose, he has a chachma, then he has a happiness, he has a simcha with the job he has to do. He has a joy. The same thing is with someone who comes to Eretz Yisrael. Someone who has the serenity of knowledge that this is the place, this is where we're meant to be, and we're in a galus. And even in Eretz Yisrael, there's still many aspects of galus. But he understands that this is the place. Understanding something leads to simcha. It's not something that's apparent to everybody, that somehow chachma and simcha are connected. But a person who thinks about life, and a person who knows that there are times that your brain can give you a serenity and understanding, that your emunah, your faith, gives you an understanding, then a person can come to that type of peace. One of Shlomo Zalman Orbach's Talmidim writes that he had an expression that he used to say that to come to Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu had to kill Melech Cheshbain. He had to kill Sichain, the king of Cheshbain. See, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to kill all the Cheshbainis. You can't go with all types of Cheshbainis. Now, that's not entirely true. A person who goes to Eretz Yisrael without making Cheshbain, without planning without figuring out how he's going to make it, it's a disaster waiting to happen. It's much deeper than that. Of course, before you come, you make cheshbonos. But once you make the commitment, you're here, you have to kill the melech cheshbon. You can't live your cheshbonos, the things that you wanted, the things that you even dreamt about. You have to live the reality. I'll give you an example. A person dates. Before he starts dating, he makes all kinds of cheshbonos. What he wants, what type of family he wants, what his wife should be like. He makes all the cheshbonos, and that's healthy. He makes cheshbonos. But once you get killed, once you get married, you have to kill the melech cheshbon. You can't live and look at a wife and ask whether this satisfies the cheshbonos that you have. Wisdom and happiness go hand in hand. A person is wise enough to know that he has to move on to certain times in life. That a person has to accept that this is the way it's supposed to be and go on and do what he could do. He'll be happy. To give just a very simple example everyone can identify with. If you're going out and it's raining, you're not happy about it. But every normal, healthy human being makes peace with it. We know it rains sometimes. Maybe you take an umbrella, you take a raincoat, you just go out and get wet. It doesn't make you miserable because you make peace with it. Your chachma says, okay, there are times that it rains. Now, of course, if you went out and you were walking under a building and a person dumped a bucket of water out the window and it fell on your head, you wouldn't be at peace. You would be happy. It's not the same as a sudden rainstorm makes you wet. It's a different misery. But you see, a person who has the wisdom to be accepting of things that are around him, to understand, to have the Havana, that in life there are things that are good for a person that involve challenges. That idea, to kill melech cheshbon, that's the idea. And Moshe Rabbeinu repeatedly tells Klal Yisrael in these parashiyos, you're going al eretz taiva, to a good land. Believe it. Moshe Rabbeinu told this to you. And so this is a thought here in Eretz Yisrael, the most wonderful, wonderful place for Yiddish and Neshama. Let's move on to a new thought. We have in this week's parasha the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon. And I'd like to share with you a thought about benching, which I hope to incorporate myself. But first, let's talk about benching. Benching, Birchas Hamazon and HaTorah, of course, is only if you eat Kedei Sfiya. If you eat enough to be full, if you eat enough to be satisfied, that's called Kedei Sfiya. Now, we, of course, bench our Kizai Sukabeya. We bench on a small amount of food that's eaten. And this is a big thing. It says that the Malachim complain to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not supposed to show favoritism. It says God is a God, Hashem lo yis upon him. That doesn't show favoritism. And how is it that you show favoritism to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yisa Hashem panav eilecha. And Hashem answered that I told them to bench only if they're full, and they bench on a kezayis and a kebeya. Wow, shouldn't I show them favoritism? Rav Palm asked, why are you mentioning benching on a kezayis and kebeya? Is that the biggest, most difficult drabanan, to take 2 minutes and bench? There are many drabanans that are more difficult. Klal Yisrael doesn't do business on Shabbos. I commanded them 39 malachas, and Klal Yisrael doesn't do business even if it doesn't involve malachas. That's harder for a lot of people. Why is benching mentioned as the example of Klal Yisrael? For that, let me digress. We have an idea in the Mishnah and Sukkah that if someone does something that he's not commanded to do, nikra hedyit, he's called a simpleton. He's called, if it's raining and you sit in the Sukkah in the rain, nikra hedyit. Now, there are all kinds of vertloch and stories about nikra hedyit, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to sit in the Sukkah anyway and be called a hedyit. But that, I don't know about the stories. The Ramah doesn't hold that way. The Ramah says, Kalapotam in a Sukkah ve'ine yaitse misham, ene mekabu olof schar. So there's no reward for that. There's no rots in Hashem. And sitting in the Sukkah when it's pouring, you're called a hedyit if you do things you're not obligated to do. That's a big problem. We do a lot of things that the Torah doesn't obligate us to do. The Torah doesn't say bench on a smaller amount, and we bench on a smaller amount. The Be'er Sheva writes, Kol Yomai Hayisi Yerushalmi says in the ninth parak of the Nedarim, it's not enough for you with the Torah acid? Why are you making the Isurim? She says, "Call my Yomai here." You see, Mitzdar al Pasik Azeh Hamaimer. He says, "This is the quote of the Be'er Sheva." Heichad Matzino Yadeinu V'Raglainu V'Beis Hamedrash. How do we live? On the Weis Naharbe Devarim. We do many things. Lameyos L'Ala Lofim, hundreds of thousands. Shanu Pturim in Adin. And we do it Mishum Chomer Uprishus. Chen Tzibu Chazal L'Ala the Mitzvahs D'Rabbanan. What's going on? So it needs some sort of an explanation. If you call the head yet for taking on new things, and yet the whole Rabbanan Diki Yiddishkeit, the whole Hidr Mitzvah Yiddishkeit, the things we're not obligated to do. The answer, which is close to what the Be'er Sheva is saying, is in the Gro and Hilchas Tefillin. In Hilchas Tefillin, in our Chaim Siman Lamed Beis above, we find that while the Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, Sirtut are the scratched in lines that make for the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah needs Sirtut. Tefillin don't. Tefillin, the top line has to have the top line of writing has to have Sirtut, has to have the pressed in line, and the rest of it is not, it doesn't need Sirtut. The Magen Avraham there, and Sivkot Ches wonders if people who do Sirtut are considered a head yet. The Torah says you don't need it. Yet, we do Sirtut. We do Sirtut on the tefillin. So the Gra says the following. Lo mikri head yet. Ela k'sha'ayse mishum chumru. Aval b'kai gam nishah kavanasai lichtav yaysa b'yayshir shaper dami. He says a very simple thing. So when you undertake something more than the Torah obligates you, if it makes sense, if it's something logical, if it's something that has a physical benefit, or has a hither benefit physically, or it's something that brings you closer to Hashem, that's wonderful that you should do. You call the head yet when you do something that is a technical thing that you somehow imagine to be a mitzvah. You imagine sitting in the rain in a sukkah is a mitzvah. Yes, your imagination. So that's ridiculous. There's no mila in it. The mitzvah sukkah is to live in a sukkah. No one lives in a house where it's raining. So the Gaon's rule is that everything that we add to the Torah, whenever we add something to the Daraisa, it's there either as a siyog, to create extra care not to be over the Daraisa, or for some benefit that a person has, for some benefit in the Tzuras HaMitzvah that a person has. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in Siman Lamed Beis, Hilchot Meches, he says pretty much the same thing in slightly different words. What that means is that the things we do midrabanan are supposed to be an enhancement to Avodas Hashem. Let's go back. Well, Sirtut, at the end, of course, the reason is because if you scratch out lines in every line, you have a neater parsha of tefillin. And that's something that's inherently good, so you're not called ahead. Coming back to Birchas HaMazon. If Birchas HaMazon was some magical incantation that had no meaning, that had no point to reflect upon, of course it would be ridiculous and absurd to add more words to that which is already there. If it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command to do something, and we don't understand it, it's a chayk, we can't add words to that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. And that idea is certainly true. In the case of Birchas HaMazon, Rav Palm explained, Birchas HaMazon is to feel an appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what you have. It's to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that Baruch Hashem, He gives you what you need. Klal Yisrael says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you expect or you demand that we express our HaKaras HaTayv only when we're satisfied, only when we're full. We're going to do more. We're going to bench on a kazayas and a kabeya. Not we're going to say a magical incantation at that point. No, that's ridiculous. We are going to express our HaKaras HaTayv, our recognition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who zon es ha'olam kulay, ha'mechem mazayim l'chol b'riyaysav. We express that appreciation even on a smaller amount. Aha! We express our appreciation on that. That has meaning. You're not nikra head yet. It has meaning. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I make a taif to Klal Yisrael. I do taif to Klal Yisrael. Rather, I do good to Klal Yisrael when they're makir taif. Anybody is that way. A person who appreciates what you do for him, of course, you do more for him." So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I shouldn't be makir taif. They appreciate everything." This is Rapam's teretz. What's nogea to us is our benching. Benching we end up doing out of habit. We do it because we're commanded to do it. We should take the moment, and it's hard to concentrate in the whole Shemayna Esrei, but at least when you start, Hazanas Olam Kulay, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for food. Isn't it amazing? Every day of your life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, prepares food for you. Prepares food. I remember Rabbi Miller saying, when they were fixing Ocean Parkway, and he used to go for a walk, and they were construction workers. They had ripped up Ocean Parkway to repair it. He said, the lunch whistle blows, everyone sits down, and everyone has food. No, everyone has food. Everyone has the food that he likes. They open up their lunch box, the paper bag, and people have things they like. Isn't it amazing that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives everything, gives everyone a food to eat, something to eat? Amazing, indeed. And therefore, when we bench, especially our Kazai Sukabeya, we should take the moment to have the appreciation for the fact that we're benching, to have the feeling of gratitude. That's really what benching is all about. If it'll motivate you more, the Shulchan Aruch Rabbi says a school of a parnasa is benching properly, which fits with what Rapam said. He said, if you appreciate, of course I'll do more good to you. And so, a very practical lamaisa thought about Berachas Hamazon. Let us all, myself included, try as best we could to have this in mind the next time we bench. And so, from the Ir HaKadosh, from the place of great holiness, of great Kedusha, the place of feeling of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I reach out to you and wish you an absolutely wonderful Shabbos, and hope that we should all be Zaycha to be here, Baratzeinu HaKadosha. But be as Goyal Tzedek, and if not, we should have the wisdom to be able to come in any event and be able to connect to the Shechina, which did not move from this very holy place. A good Shabbos to all.